Okay. Get all these wires straightened out here.
Sounds like somebody's frying eggs on.
Oh, really?
Made me hungry.
Eggs are good for you. I don't know if you noticed that, but eggs are a good source of protein, a good way to start out the day. We are the leading egg producing state, by the way, in case anybody forgot. Good morning, and I want to welcome all of you to our weekly press conference. We're here today to announce that Iowa has the tremendous privilege of hosting the 46th annual Midwest U.S. Japan Association Conference to be held starting on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday of next week here in Des Moines. Lieutenant Governor and I are very honored to serve as hosts for this conference, which will bring together key business leaders and other elected officials from across the Midwest and from Japan. The conference will begin on Sunday, September 7th, and run through Tuesday, September 9th. The conference has a long history and well-known international reputation. Every other year, the conference is held in Japan and then in the Midwest. Last year, I attended this important international conference in Tokyo, and I've attended several previously, as part of our Japan-India trade mission last year. The theme of the conference this year will be building a robust and sustainable future. In the short time that we have together, we'll be packing in a lot of relationship building, business decisions, and global conversations that affect both of our countries. Attendees to the conference will have an opportunity to hear from key decision makers such as the Japanese ambassador to the United States and key industry leaders from Rockwell Collins, Toshiba, Vermeer, DuPont, MidAmerican Energy, Toyota, and others. As some of you may know, Iowa also has a long-standing sister state with Yamanashi Prefecture in Japan that dates back to 1960. This sister state was formed on the basis of aid following a devastating typhoon that hit this Japanese region in 1959. Seeing the damage to the area, Iowans responded by sending a plane load of breeding hogs and 100,000 bushels of corn. This effort later became known as the Iowa Hog Lift and provided for a strong foundation for our sister state relationship. The people of Yamanashi generously reciprocated during our devastating floods in 1993. The citizens of the prefecture graciously came to our aid, and many Iowans and their families benefited from their assistance. Beyond assistance, our partnership has included economic, educational, and agricultural exchanges between the people and the people of Iowa and the people of Yamanashi. That continues to go very strongly and has throughout this entire period. Japan continues to be one of Iowa's top export markets, and several Japanese companies have also invested and created jobs here in Iowa. We are proud that companies like Bridgestone Firestone, which has a big plant here in Des Moines, as well as having an operation over in Muscatine. Valent Biosciences, which just had the grand opening of their new facility in Osage. Ajinomoto, which has two plants in Eddyville, and NSK and AKS, who are both down in Clarinda, as well as Toyota with their insurance and financial services operation in Cedar Rapids, and there's others. They've chosen to locate in our state because they see the benefits of the Iowa work ethic. They've created good jobs for Iowans. These companies have established operations in Iowa because they know we have a favorable business climate, a good work ethic, a good education system, and job training program. Hosting the Midwest U.S. Japan Association Conference in our state will help us to continue to build on those important economic partnerships that we have. And I would say we last hosted this in Cedar Rapids in 1995. I was governor then as well, and I've been to a number of these conferences in Japan as well. So now I want to turn it over to the Lieutenant Governor to tell you more about the conference.
Well, good morning, and thank you, Governor. I, too, am excited and look forward to our time with our Japanese guests and other Midwestern leaders. With 1 in 5 Iowa jobs depending on trade, we continue our focus on growing Iowa's global partnerships abroad to increase trade exports and encourage international companies to invest and locate within Iowa. These efforts create and sustain good-paying jobs and rewarding jobs here at home for many Iowans. Hosting this upcoming conference will help Iowa gain international attention for our leadership in agriculture, food processing, biofuels, advanced manufacturing, as well as the financial services. At this point, we're expecting about 320 attendees, with 100 of those guests coming from or traveling from Japan. Japan is Iowa's third largest export market, with $980 million of exports last year. Our top export categories include meat, cereals, optics and measuring instruments, food waste, animal feed, as well as pharmaceuticals. We're looking forward to strengthening our relationship with Japan through this conference while meeting with their top-level officials and industry leaders who are current and potential business partners. The Governor and I are looking forward to this tremendous opportunity and this tremendous event next week, and the opportunity once again to highlight the great things that are happening in our great state.
We expect as many as 6 Midwestern governors to join this conference. I think our sister state governor from Yamanashi Prefecture will be here, and there will be several governors from the prefectures in Japan as well. So I'm glad to respond to your questions.
Do you expect any memorandums of understanding or trade agreements or any other economic development views to come out of this conference, or is it just
No, generally speaking, those are separately negotiated between the individual states and the businesses, and this is a long-standing relationship in it. So what it is, it's an opportunity for us to kind of compare notes and see how things are going and what new opportunities there might be. I know last year when I was in Japan, in addition to attending the conference, I made several personal calls on Japanese companies, including the parent company for Valent Biosciences, which is Sumitomo Chemical, and that was at the time that they were in the process of building the facility in Osage. So this is really an opportunity to kind of make sure that we maintain these good relationships and encourage additional investment and growth.
Can you talk about the importance of that, especially with Asian society as opposed to perhaps
In the Asian world, long-term relationships are really important. That's why we are so blessed to have this personal relationship with Xi Jinping, the president of China, and the fact that he calls us old friends, and we have built this long-time relationship of friendship and trust. We obviously have that with Japan because our sister state with Yamanashi, I think, is the oldest of the sister states that any state has, and the relationship's been very good. In fact, Mark Snell and his wife just recently returned from teaching over in Kofu, the capital of Yamanashi Prefecture, for the last 2 years. And when I was in Japan last year, they came from Kofu to visit us. And I think their son, who's just a recent Iowa State graduate, is now teaching over there. And there are several other Iowans that are there. So that relationship is really important and good. And that's something that the Asian cultures really appreciate. But then we also have these long-standing relationship with the companies, and these companies that have invested in Iowa, and these include thousands of Iowa jobs, and these are good jobs. So we're very appreciative of the confidence they've shown in our state.
Is anybody from the Obama administration coming?
We have some people here from the Economic Development Authority. Maybe you can help answer that.
Sure.
Yeah, why don't you come up?
Did you hear the question?
Victoria.
Yeah. Hi, Victoria Wasike from the Iowa Economic Development Authority. We have Michael Beeman, who is the acting assistant USTR for Japan, and he's with the Obama administration, speaking on the federal level regarding TPP mainly and other federal issues.
TPP.
Yeah, tell him what.
Sorry, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, currently
That's
being negotiated.
That's a trade agreement they're working on negotiating between the Pacific Nations and the...
And the U.S. And then also during that same time, we're going to have the Japanese ambassador to the U.S. who will also be speaking during that time.
Other questions? Okay. Well, thank you, Victoria.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Last week, Senator Sorensen pleaded guilty to felony charges. He's always talked about how Iowa does not have corrupt government, and you've always criticized Democrats. You've got a Texas governor now indicted. You've got the governor, former governor of Virginia, who's on trial on corruption charges there. You have a state senator from your own party pleading guilty to corruption charges. What do you think about what's happening? Is there a problem in the Republican Party, and is there a problem here in Iowa?
Well, unlike Illinois, which has corruption after corruption after corruption, we had a problem with a particular senator, and the Iowa Senate Ethics Committee investigated. Once that investigation was completed, the Republican leader in the Senate asked him to resign. He did resign, and he has now pleaded guilty. That's the way we do things in Iowa. When we find wrongdoing, we investigate it, and we take action to see that justice is done. And I think it's appropriate, and I think that the fact that Iowa has taken appropriate action to protect the integrity of our caucuses and to keep out inappropriate actions, speaks out strongly that we do things differently here than they do in a lot of other places, including our neighboring state of Illinois.
Yes,
absolutely. I believe that what happened, the fact that the Senate Ethics Committee, on a bipartisan basis, conducted an investigation, had an independent outside investigation, discovered wrongdoing, and then the Republican leader in the Senate, Bill Dix, asked that Mr. Sorensen resign. He did resign. A special election was held, and he's been replaced. And now... he has pled guilty to criminal violation of federal law, but this shows the difference in the way we handle things in Iowa, and I think it's a tribute to the political system of our state and to the Senate itself, both the Ethics Committee and Minority Leader Bill Dix, that they took the action that they did. Well, first of all, I think even Democrats like Axelrod have said this is very questionable. I mean, I think people need to look at the facts and consider the circumstances of the situation before reaching a conclusion.
Do you think we'll be viewed favorably then?
Well, just listen, anybody, if you follow Texas politics, you know, this isn't the first time these kind of things have gone on in that particular state. And I think that Iowans are going to look at this from a fair and objective perspective and look at all the facts.
Actually, a couple of weeks ago, you said it would help them.
Well, I think because of the way that it's been gone about, that a lot of people, including some pretty prominent Democrats, have said that they think this is inappropriate, and it looks like, a very political thing that's being done because of the fact that he's exploring the possibility of running for president. Yeah, that could lead to people having sympathy for him. But I guess I'll leave that up to the people to decide. Let people make their own judgment. But I trust the people of Iowa. I trust their common sense and their good judgment. And I think that they're going to be very fair with all individuals.
Back to Kent Sorensen, what he did would not have been a violation of House ethics rules. Should the Iowa House change its ethics rules to forbid its members from accepting payment from political candidates, committees?
Well, I don't think it's appropriate for me as governor, being the chief executive in the executive branch of government, to tell the House and the Senate how they should conduct their business. So I do respect the independence of the branches of government and believe that the House and the Senate can appropriately decide their own rules and enforce their rules.
This past week, the auditor released a report about the confidential settlement agreements and actually found more than had been previously disclosed. Why was she and her staff able to find more?
Unfortunately, the Department of Administrative Services in the past has not had an electronic tracking system. And that's the reason why it was not discovered previously. The director of the Department of Administrative Services is now in the process of putting together an electronic tracking system along with the cooperation and support of the auditor. I think this is needed and, frankly, long overdue. I'm pleased that the auditor's report also showed that the action that I took with the executive order has ended the use of confidentiality clauses in settlement agreements and that the agencies are abiding by the responsibility to have all of these agreements reviewed by the Attorney General's office and approved by the Director of the Department and Administrative Services.
Did it surprise you, though, that there were more? I mean, you had an internal...
Yes, but we... Unfortunately, they did not have a good tracking system, and the my staff went on the information they were supplied, and it wasn't adequate. And that's the thing that we are committed to correcting. This is something that should not happen. First of all, there won't be any more confidentiality agreements. I believe also that these personnel records should be open to the public, so that the public can know all of the information and make their own judgment on it. We are committed to making sure that we have an adequate and good tracking system that prevents this from ever happening in the future.
Governor, Americans United for Change issued a statement last week critical of the Iowa Republican Party for what it says was taking a stance in support of eliminating the renewable fuel standard. And they said after they issued that statement criticized the Republican Party, that the Republican Party scrubbed it from their website. Is that true, that the Republican Party stands for that? And what's your stance on what the party does?
Well, first of all, I would say you have these outside groups sponsored by billionaires from California that don't support renewable fuels versus people like me and Senator Grassley, our whole congressional delegation, all our Republicans in the legislature that do support renewable fuels. The problem with renewable fuels has been caused by the EPA, and the EPA, which always supported renewable fuels up until last year, then they came out with a rule, and this was just absolutely floored us, because Lieutenant Governor Reynolds and I invited Gina McCarthy, the new director of the EPA, to come to the Iowa State Fair in 2013. We specifically talked to her about renewable fuels, and she assured us that she was very supportive of renewable fuels. And then, a few months later, they come out with a recommendation to reduce renewable fuel standard, something that had never been done before. And I went to Virginia and testified against it. We conducted our own hearing in Des Moines when they refused to have one here in the Heartland, which is right the heart of renewable fuel area. So there's nobody stronger for renewable fuels than myself and Republicans serving in the Iowa legislature and serving in the Congress. And so for some outside group to make those kind of accusations is just absolutely false. This is what's bad about politics today. You have millions of dollars being spent by outside groups making all kinds of crazy accusations, which are just frankly false.
Is it true that the Republican Party has not taken a stance on in their party platform in support of eliminating renewable fuel standard?
First of all, I have great confidence in new leadership of the Republican Party, and Jeff Kaufman is a strong supporter of renewable fuels, and I don't know all the details of the platform, but I can tell you I know Republicans, and I know Republican office holders, and I know that there's no stronger group of supporters for renewable fuels. All you had to do is go to the rally that we had up there at Lincoln Way Energy, and you saw Republican after Republican, and for that matter, I'm not made that. Democrats in Iowa have also been supportive of renewable fuels. So we're not making that accusation against them. And I think it's fair, unfair and wrong for outside groups to make those kind of accusations against Republicans. If there's one thing that we are united on in this state, it's that we support renewable fuels. And this has been something we've had bipartisan support for. Senator Grassley, Senator Harkin, all of our congressmen, all of our legislature, when I asked in the condition of the state address that the legislature pass a resolution in strong support of a robust renewable fuel standard, both houses passed resolutions in the first week of the session. Now that is a strong bipartisan commitment. And for some outside group to come in and make those kind of false accusations is, I think, just unfair and not the way we do business here in the state of Iowa. Well, first of all, I don't know what all the details that are in there, but it is what is important is the candidates and the people that represent the Republican Party have taken a strong stand on this issue. And that's what's important. And we are, as the governor of this state, there's nobody that feels stronger or has been more vocal in support of renewable energy than I have been. And I resent outside groups coming in and making false accusations, and you know they're false accusations. And a lot of these people are not from the state of Iowa. They don't know the first thing about, in fact, a lot of those people don't even know that when you make ethanol, a byproduct called DDGs is tremendous cattle feed. And, you know, a good example of this is, you know, we had these people that were against renewable fuels complaining about the price of corn was driving up the cost of food. That was back when corn was $8. Now corn is down to $3.50. How much has food gone down? It's not gone down at all. In fact, it's gone up. And so that's the reason why I feel so strongly about renewable fuels and why I take umbrage when somebody makes these kind of accusations against my party and our stand on renewable fuels, because nobody has fought harder or worked stronger for renewable fuels.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.